Paul Meacham Jr.
You can probably think of many important days in your life, many days that stand out, that had a part in shaping who and what you are today. I think of the birth of my children, the day that I married my wife. But no day stands out more for a Christian than the day that he was baptized. This is always a very special day, for we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. It is the day the blood of Christ washes our sins away, and we stand justified and redeemed in the sight of God. There is one who was baptized for another reason. We are so very glad that you've decided to join us today for this time of Bible study. The Bible is a precious book, for it teaches us many great things about God, the Christ, who is the second person of the Godhead. We've looked at the fact that he existed before he was ever born on this earth, but that's one of the marks of deity, and he, of course, possesses that. The fact that Jesus was born onto this earth, that he did have a physical beginning, but his birth was very unique, that he was born to a virgin. This is unlike any other who has ever walked the earth. In the physical life of Jesus, this was the day that he was baptized. As we mentioned in our opening comments, the day of our baptism is an important day for each one of us who is a member of Christ's church. Jesus was also baptized, but for a very different reason than we. I'd like to begin by asking, first of all, how was Jesus baptized? You know, words mean things, and we need to study exactly what a word means in order to understand what the Bible writers were saying when they used the word. If we did that, then no one would ever ask the question, how should a person be baptized? For the word baptize is not really a word. It is a created word. In the 1600s, when the translators were creating the King James translation of the Bible, they created this word. They took the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or to bury, and they transliterated it. That means that they created a new word that sounded somewhat like the original word, but sounded more compatible with the new language. They created the English word baptize. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse or to bury. If we understand that, then no one should ever have to ask, what does the Bible mean when it talks about being baptized? It means to be buried, to be plunged, to be immersed, to be overwhelmed in something. The Bible context teaches this as well as the language. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, we read, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death." Baptism is a burial. It is an overwhelming, a plunging, an immersion. If we understand the word, we understand what baptism is. Now, the Greeks had words that they could have used for sprinkling. This is one false form of baptism that's used today. That word was the word rantizo, and it does mean to sprinkle. There was also the word akio, which meant to pour. And while some sprinkle water on a person's head and others pour water over them, that's not the word that the Bible uses. The Bible refers to baptism as a burial, as an immersion, and that is the only kind of baptism that is acceptable to God, a baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. Now, the context of Jesus' baptism also indicates that it was a burial. We find from Matthew chapter 3 and in Mark chapter 1, parallel accounts, that Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water. This, of course, is not necessary if it was merely a sprinkling of water over him. We find the same language used in Acts chapter 8, where we find the man Philip preaching to and baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. For we find in verses 38 and 39 that they both went down into the water, and then they both came up out of the water. This was a baptism, an immersion, a burial. Now, some have falsely believed that what Jesus did on this occasion was nothing more than the ritual Jewish cleansings that took place during that day. But that simply is not possible. We find from Mark chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, that the Jews washed many things as part of these ritual cleansings. They even washed themselves, but they never had someone else administer that washing. We find here, however, that this was John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, who did the baptizing on this particular occasion. Jesus was not cleansing himself in some kind of a ritual way. Rather, he was submitting to baptism at the hands of another. We also see that this was not the ritual Jewish cleansing because this was an act of righteousness that he performed. not merely keeping the traditions of the Pharisees. Mark chapter 7 and verse 5, the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" It was their traditions that had brought about these cleansings that they engaged in. That's not what Jesus was engaging in. Also, this event attracted special attention. And John understood this to be something unusual, for he said that, "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, not you from me." And Jesus insisted that he go ahead and administer this particular baptism to him. All of these things indicated that it was something out of the ordinary, something unusual, something the people did not see. Because of this, we understand it was not the typical ritual cleansing that they were accustomed to. But why was Jesus baptized? I know why I was baptized, and I know why you must be baptized in order to go to heaven. It's because baptism washes away our sins. We find this in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. It's a matter of salvation, for it is baptism in the act of baptism that we are saved, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. But such is not true of Jesus of Nazareth, for he had no sins to wash away. He did not need salvation, for he came to give salvation. So why was he baptized? The Bible answers that question for us. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 31, we read, "I did not know him," this is John the Immerser speaking, "but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" This indicates to us that the Spirit coming upon him at the end of his baptism was a sign that he was in fact the Messiah. It also shows us that he was the one who would be the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism. Notice that no man administrates that. No man gives that Holy Spirit baptism. But Jesus is the only one who could, and he did so on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, baptizing the apostles in the Holy Spirit. We find then that the Pharisees and many others of that day came, either showing their repentance and wanting to be baptized, or failing to show their repentance and being turned away, but not Jesus. Jesus came, and he was baptized not for the repentance and remission of sins, but rather to demonstrate that he is, in fact, the Messiah. This event also marks his reception of the Holy Spirit, for we find the prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." This came upon him at the time that he was baptized. It also marked the beginning of his public ministry, for we find immediately after his baptism that he was driven into the wilderness to suffer the temptations of the devil that would come to him. And that from that time on, according to Matthew 4 and verse 17, he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This marked the beginning of that public ministry. It also shows us a complete obedience to the Father. It shows us that he was willing to do whatever God required. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. We need to understand the reason that we are baptized, the reason that we must be baptized into Christ. We need to understand that when the Bible says that it is there that the blood washes away our sins, that that's exactly what it means. And we need to understand that Jesus was baptized for a completely different reason. Not for the remission of sins at all, but rather to demonstrate, to show a sign that he was the Messiah, to begin his public ministry, for this to be the time when he received the anointing of the Holy Spirit from God, and for this to be a beginning act of great obedience, a tremendous example of obedience that you and I should follow. The Bible does not teach he was baptized for the same reason that we are baptized, but it does teach us what the reason was. Jesus had no sins, according to Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, that shows a difference in the Christ and us. We are tempted, and we fall to those temptations, and we commit sin. Therefore, we need a Savior, and we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Yet Jesus was tempted without sin. It was necessary for him to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It's not possible for me to be baptized for that same reason. I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. Now, how important did Jesus see this act of obedience? Is this something that was trivial, that did not really matter? No, his actions indicate that it was very important to him. We see that he traveled about 60 or 70 miles to get from Nazareth to the Jordan River, where this baptism was to take place. This was an act that required a tremendous amount of forethought and even some sacrifice on his part to get there and to do this. Yet it was important enough to him that he did so. It also emphasizes the submission that we must have to God's will and to God's plan of how things should be done. I remember John chapter 15 and verse 10, where Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus could have said, "It's not necessary that I be baptized. I have no sins. I do not need to repent." Yet he submitted himself to this because it was an act of righteousness to fulfill all righteousness, to do as the Father desired.